Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The term that I've used is Poles position.
It's time for Poles position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Poles do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Did it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks. Wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
9999.
So I listen to Poles position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select
the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Poles position is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us. It's really sad. We learned before the show that we have a day game coming up this week.
Tomorrow.
And then another day game on Friday.
Yeah.
And then the draft is Thursday. So that means we only have 4 Poles positions left.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, John, I know, buddy. I feel you.
It's devastating. Only 4 of these things left. I mean, of course, the bright side is then they get to draft Caleb Williams.
Sure.
And that's amazing.
And the bright side to some might be that we only have 4 of these things left.
I don't know how that could possibly be a thing that people feel.
Dan Bernstein.
Again, he's not a person.
No, he isn't. You know,
he's not human.
It's a good point by you.
Yeah.
What is he, actually? Some kind of an ectomorph?
He's, I don't know.
Not sure what he is.
He's a real jerk.
Yeah, he is.
That's what I
thought. He ruined Poles position last year. We won't let him this year.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
But yeah, we're
called me, bitch.
We're counting down, though. We're trying to figure out what topics to do, what things to do. And sometimes it just sort of presents itself to you.
Well,
a couple different things came out today that sort of lead us right to this one, don't they?
Yeah, well, so Brad Biggs did his latest mock draft for the Trib, and he had them trading down. But it was just more of the exercise, it seemed like. But he was like, yeah, people are thinking about this sort of thing, and trading down is always a decent idea. But then Peter Schrager, he doesn't do a lot of mock drafts.
He does one, Danny.
That's not a lot, Speaks.
He does one when you get single-digit days away, from the draft. That's when he does his one and his only mock draft. And it's interesting because it's on NFL.com along with Daniel Jeremiah's third, Bucky Brooks's third, Eric Edholm's second. Like, there's a lot of mocks out there. And to your point, when people do multiple mocks, sometimes they're just like shaking it up because they feel like they ought to shake it up. What Peter does is he talks to all of his sources, brings everything in that he can, and then clearly delineates, this isn't what I would do. It's what I'm hearing from my sources around the league. I find that to be much more valuable.
I do too. Did you read the profile piece that was done on Peter Schrager a couple weeks ago?
I did not.
It was really good. Bruce Feldman did it. It was basically following Peter Schrager around the combine. And it was basically, he knows everybody and everybody knows him. And he uses his relationships a little differently. He doesn't compete with Rappaport and Schefter for the transactional news.
Uh-huh.
He's more in like the Jay Glazer role of, I want to be informed on everything. I'm not going to break every story, but tell me stuff. And he's on the flagship NFL Network show every day for 3 hours. So he's not breaking news on the show.
But he's furthering conversations based on stuff he actually knows.
He's informed. And so, like, it was interesting. It was, you know, he went out to breakfast with Andy Reid and Brett Veach, and then he had to leave because he had an early lunch with Sean McVay, who was his first source. And how did he get him to be his first source? Oh, he went to the combine on his own dime, and he looked at all the coaching staffs and crossed off all the head coaches and all the coordinators, yeah. And then just blind emailed the position coaches because he figured that they were more in his age range. And so then Sean McVay responded to him, so they got coffee. It's just very interesting. But so the point is, he knows everybody, and people tell him stuff because they're not worried that it's going to end up on Twitter as like a transactional report. It's really just to make him informed for fans. So
he's smart.
He has some high profile hits on these mocks in the past. And so why do I do that entire preamble? He has the Bears trading down from 9. And he has the Bears trading down from 9. Two things fascinated me about this. He has them trading down from 9 with Malik Nabers on the board.
So he's got Adunze gone just after Harrison goes. Got Harrison 5 to the Chargers, and then Adunze 6 to the Cardinals. Then Alt is gone, and then Dallas Turner. And most Bears fans at that point would be sitting there at 9 going, oh my God! Malik Nabers has fallen to us.
I would be one of those people. I'd be the guy who's saying, give Joe Burrow his Ja'Marr Chase. You know, like that's what I'd be saying. This guy runs a 4.35, mm-hmm. massively productive in the SEC, big, tough, excellent catch radius, chip on his shoulder, thinks he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Give me Malik Nabers. He has Indy trading up from 15 to 9.
For a future second round pick.
And so.
So nothing else in this draft. Nothing else in this draft. He's just adding a 2.
I wouldn't do it.
You hate it.
I hate it. So all that does is next year you have 3 second round picks, which is, of course, not nothing. You'd have Carolina's second-round pick, your second-round pick, and Indy's second-round
pick.
Yeah,
no, that's good. That's good going into the second year of your rookie quarterback's contract.
And knowing what you need to maneuver.
Knowing exactly
that.
What you need, almost assuredly then letting Keenan Allen go, and knowing that in a wide receiver universe that seems to have a good draft class every single year. If you don't get one later in this draft, or even if you do, you could take another one next year with one of those delightful second round picks. I'm okay with that. Absolutely, I'm okay with that. Ideally, I've been thinking trade down because you're going to take, you know, you're going to take any number of defensive players, and any of them might be available at 13, 14, 15, or if you're going to do tackle, it might be down there. But I've been thinking you add something in this draft. But if you're just adding something in next year's draft, I'm okay with that too.
I'd be upset. And here's the thing that I'll just sneak preview for our draft show in Detroit. It's going to be hard for me to imagine a scenario where I'm angry because Caleb Williams is going to be on the Bears. And Ryan Poles has earned the benefit of the doubt in my mind because mm-hmm. he's proven to be pretty good at this. But a scenario of Malik Nabers being on the board uh-huh. where I think there's an argument that he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr. and trading out of that spot just for a second-round pick, not even this year, so it's a future second-round pick, which is less valuable, that would really bum me out because it's not like you'd be adding a top 40 pick this year to also add to the team. That would really feel underwhelming to me.
I think you have added so much that if you're loading up and giving yourself more ammo for next year, as well as still getting somebody at 15 that you might have felt great about getting at 9.
Well, that's the next part of this that we need to talk
about.
Yeah,
for sure, because again, how many targets are out there? You just added your second tight end, so you've got 2 tight ends you like. 2 veteran tight ends you like. You've got 2,000-yard receivers. And how much 3 wide out personnel is Shane Waldron going to play for Caleb Williams?
Jackson Smith and Jigba did not love how he was used with Shane Waldron
Correct.
In Seattle, but they still drafted Jackson Smith and Jigba to be there.
I know, but I wonder if Shane Waldron comes armed with that information of, look, I drafted a third wide receiver and it didn't even get a chance to use him that much. I drafted a guy high like that.
Malik Nabers is better than him.
Oh, I think so.
Listen, I mean, JSN's performance in that Rose Bowl is one of the best college football games I've ever seen. I still think he has not shown as much as he will in the NFL.
But if you're trying to run the ball enough and you've got two veteran 1,000-yard receivers, like, I understand that the first year adding that wide receiver might strike you as lower on the priority list.
So Peter Schrager has them trading down to 15 with Indy and taking the tackle from Alabama, J.C. Latham. The only reason I wouldn't freak out over this move, even though I would be disappointed in it, is they are trading down for offense, and it's Ryan Poles selecting an offensive lineman.
He's selecting a left tackle to be opposite Darnell Wright, and you have your bookend tackles.
And I can't be mad at protecting the franchise quarterback, but I would note that in this Peter Schrager mock draft, let's say that's what happens just for the sake of argument. Let's say he nails it, and of course he won't nail every pick. But let's say he nails it.
Is that the fourth tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Fashano would be off the board at 13, mm-hmm. Fuaga off the board at 14, and Latham off the board at 15. So you would be trading down to the middle of the first round to take the fourth guy at his position.
Yeah.
And when you are making that trade, you do not know who is going to be there. Like, Brett, when Biggs was on today, he was talking about, if you trade down, I don't think you could trade down too far. That I completely agree with. Like, I don't know if you think you're going to be drafting in the 20s for the next couple of years, uh-huh. on Caleb's rookie deal, and you need blue chip players, you need a dozen of them, you need 10 of them to be a real Super Bowl contender, this is your last chance to draft a blue player.
I disagree. Next year, you trade your one and one of those extra twos up to get exactly a piece you want, if you want.
But is
next year, next year, you're armed with three twos in next year's draft. So you're still in a position of strength going in, and you have a year under your belt, and you know what you have.
So is that the answer? Is that why you'd be more willing to package multiple assets to move up, because you would, in theory, know more about your roster?
Absolutely. You'd know more about your roster. You'd know more about your quarterback. You'd know exactly what you need with a lot more clarity than what you even have right now. And look, to me, this is also informed by the other piece that came out today in The Athletic, where Alec Lewis wrote about NFL teams knowing the best way to draft but not doing it. NFL teams know the best way to draft, so why aren't they doing it? And the whole thing is about a massive pile of empirical evidence that says trade down, that teams should trade down. Conversations with 14 general managers, coaches, analytics staffers, scouts, and executives unearthed a messy concoction of uncertainty, overconfidence, competing incentives, pressure, and impatience. This is from the piece about drafting. Human dynamics writ large, said Bill Polian. The draft is an absolute petri dish for every cognitive bias under the sun. And they did this tremendous data analysis, which showed that across all rounds, the probability that a player starts more games than the next player chosen is just 53%. And when teams trade a pick this year for a pick next year, they generate a 174% return on trades, suggesting the teams should accumulate picks by trading back and into the future more often. The more darts you have, the better your chance of eventually hitting the bullseye. So the whole tenor of the piece, which I strongly recommend, is that teams know that this makes more sense, logically. But they all get caught up in their emotional excitement, thinking, I got a guy. No, really, I watched the tape. Did you watch the tape? I watched the tape. And then they get caught up in it. So I think it's no coincidence for the effect of Poles' position that these two items come out on the same day.
I think that makes sense. I get the idea that the draft is throwing darts, and so your better chance at success is throwing a lot of darts. But that's like a very simple, you got a better chance at winning the lottery the more tickets you have. I get it. Mm. But blue chip players are special. And yes, you can, because then next year, yeah, you'd say you know what you need. You need a receiver, you need a center, you need an edge rusher, you need a three technique. You would then be doing the exact opposite of what that article was saying. You'd be packaging, hopefully, your first round pick in the 20s and one of these extra second round picks to move up to get a blue chip player.
Well, think of the time horizon of where you hopefully are as a franchise. You're going for a Super Bowl roster next year. If you win 10 games this year and make the playoffs, then you're trying to perfect your roster and go for it with Super Bowl level intensity, and that is when you trade up.
I don't know. I think in general you always want to have young, cheap labor, and you could trade multiple picks and trade up and not hit on that guy. You could also be wrong. And obviously the higher in the draft, the better chance you have at success. But this idea of they traded down last year and they traded down twice, right? Because they traded the Bryce Young pick and then they trade down from 9 to 10. I get it's better than Ryan Pace's philosophy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sitting here advocating trading up from 9 for Marvin Harrison Jr. But there is something to be said of take a damn good player and let him grow on the exact same timeline as Caleb Williams. Let him be protected now. Let him throw to his guy now and develop together.
I hear you. But they would be, in this scenario, taking somebody that they think is a damn good player and letting him grow with Caleb Williams. Maybe they love J.C. Latham as much as any of these other tackles, other than Alt, who they're not going to get there at 9. But they've looked at it because we've talked about Olu from Penn State. We've talked about Futanu from Washington. We haven't yet talked about J.C. Latham, and we'll make a point to talk tackles sometime between now and the draft. What if they do think he's a blue player? What if they think he's a blue tackle and they can get him at 15?
Well, it's impossible to know that. So it's a huge risk. You know, you're trading at 9, and 5 other teams have to pick between you and that.
For sure.
You know, so he's the fourth tackle.
So, I mean, maybe, like, in Schrager's scenario, by the way, Latham is there at 15. Troy Futanu is still there at 15. Byron Murphy II, the interior lineman, is still there at 15. Jared Verse he has going all the way down at 21. So you're still talking about trading down where there could be a package of 3 or 4 people that you feel good enough about at 15. Because I agree, you don't want to like hone in on just the one guy who you're obsessed with.
No, if you trade down from 9 to 15, you have to have 6 guys on your board. You have to have a top 6.
Right.
And you have to be comfortable with getting any of those 6.
If they trade down from 9 and they get Murphy or Verse, you know, somebody we're considering at 9.
That I would hate. Trading down, trading out of the blue player range, and taking a defensive player, that's the scenario that bums me out on draft night.
Okay.
That's the scenario.
Understood.
By the way, the thing in this mock that maybe is most interesting, Minnesota not trading up. Minnesota staying at 11. Making a selection and staying at 23 and selecting Bo Nix. So not moving up for one of the big 4, but using that pick that they acquired in the trade to just stand pat and take a QB. So that would be fascinating. I went and saw Pat Tomasulo at his job this morning. I got all dressed up. I drove in. I dealt with the Kennedy. I put on a suit and tie. And he's coming on our show via Zoom. Next on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.